Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1.
The Thinking Atheist. It's not a person. It's a symbol. An idea.
The population of atheists in this country is going through the roof.
Rejecting faith. Pursuing knowledge. Challenging the sacred.
If I tell the truth, it's because I tell the truth. Not because I put my hand on a book and made a wish.
And working together for a more rational world.
Take the risk of thinking for yourself. Much more happiness, truth, beauty, and wisdom will come to you that way.
Assume nothing. Question everything. And start thinking. This is the Thinking Atheist Podcast, hosted by Seth Andrews.
No. I can see you rolling your eyes. Right. Relax. Stick with me. You're asking yourself, why would Seth do a recap of a year we are so desperate to forget? And I get that, right? I feel that. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. First of all, we're going to do our due diligence, and we will talk about COVID-19 here at the top of the show. All right, we're going to just sort of hit the important stuff quickly as a matter of responsibility. But a lot of other stuff happened this year, and a lot of it's kind of cool and interesting and entertaining and exciting. Some science discoveries and human rights victories and just some interesting stuff. That's what today's broadcast is going to be about, okay? You're in good hands. I'm going to take care of you today. You'll be able to enjoy this broadcast without wanting to drive your car into a brick wall at high speed. We'll get into many of the major events, for better and worse, all around the world. We'll talk about the celebrities that we loved and lost. And to make sure that you leave the show with a big smile on your face, again, I will cap the broadcast with kind of a potpourri of some of the wildest and weirdest and funniest and most bizarre news stories from all around the world, like news of the weird. We're going to climax the show with that. You are in good hands, I promise. Natalie and I have been working on our eating habits. Lots of people talking about better nutrition, better living for 2021. With those plans, I'd like to encourage you to include Dr. Alyssa Crittenden's series. It's called Food Science and the Human Body. Now, Dr. Crittenden is an actual expert, right? Not just some spokesmodel with a stethoscope on daytime TV. She's for real. She knows what she's talking about. She gets into our primitive ancestry, how our cravings today can be linked to our primal past, and how things like fire informed the invention of cooking, which helped us to chew our food and better digest our food. How about spices? You know, the stuff we love and hate. Food addiction. How foods are used in religious traditions. It's just a great ride for the taste buds. And with my special URL, you can watch the whole series and thousands of other options. Great lectures on a host of subjects. Watch them for free when you start your free trial as you start your new year. Do it now at thegreatcoursesplus.com/Seth. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/Seth. And here we go with 2020 in review. Okay, so let's start with the COVID news to get it done. January 7th, the Chinese branch of the World Health Organization notified of the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. Cases had been reported there as early as November, believed to have originated at a wet market in the city of Wuhan. COVID statistics changing by the minute. Unfortunately, right now, global deaths over 1.7 million people, global infections almost 80 million. We've had well over 300,000 deaths in the United States with total infections of 18 million. Meanwhile, in late October of this year, in an alternate universe, the White House listed ending COVID-19 as one of its accomplishments. We do not live in a shared reality, my friends. I mean, what? President-elect Biden ramping up measures to deal with COVID in 2021. Vaccines happening now. An entire culture of conspiracy wing nuts refusing to wear masks because, you know, freedom and oppression and Satan. Can we just give these people their own mini country? They can just go over there and just cough COVID on each other. Wait, that seems to be an online space called Parler. We'll talk about Parler here in just a little bit. In January, some good news from the American Cancer Society. Cancer rates are actually dropping throughout the country. I mean, not dramatically, a few percentage points in the last couple of years. But in the last few decades, breast cancer deaths have dropped 40%. Prostate cancer deaths dropped 52%. Colon cancer deaths down 53%. This is encouraging information as we see the numbers go down since the mid-1980s. Still, almost 2 million people diagnosed with cancer every year. 600,000 plus people don't survive it. The fight against cancer continues. But hey, we're making progress. And thank you, science. Some more science. Early this year, Science News reported that researchers and scientists and excavators and archaeologists, etc., had taken this 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy. He was an Egyptian priest mummified 3,000 years ago. Nesyamun, N-E-S-Y-A-M-U-N. So they scanned his vocal tract digitally. All right, so they could see the larynx and they could see the vocal tract. And they took that scan and they recreated this ancient priest's voice box using a 3D printer. And then they used the recreated vocal cord to recreate what he may have sounded like when he spoke 3,000 years ago. I mean, imagine. You and I pass away, somebody scans our vocal cords, and thousands of years later, our voice is still being heard. That's just wild. January 2nd, it was Iranian General Qasem Soleimani killed in a U.S. drone strike. Soleimani, the head of a major force carrying out overseas terror attacks, he was known as a ruthless killer, considered the second most powerful person in the theocracy of Iran. And according to the Pentagon, he was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American and coalition service members and the wounding of thousands more. Soleimani was killed in a U.S. airstrike at Baghdad International Airport. President Donald Trump said the strike was necessary to stop an imminent attack. Walking that language back a little bit to speak more in terms of deterrence, the country splits on the merits of the drone strike. Some people said Soleimani was a monster. He needed to be neutralized before he hurt somebody else. Others said it was a violation of international law and an arbitrary execution. Since the strike, tensions between the U.S. and Iran have only escalated. January the 8th, Ukrainian Flight 752 crashed in Tehran. 176 people dead. Iran said it was shot down by accident after they mistook it for a threat. On that same day, more than a dozen missiles launched from Iran on two military bases that housed American soldiers. No deaths, many injuries. The attack was believed to be retaliatory for the assassination of Soleimani. January wildfires in Australia. Bushfires threatened the entire south coast. We saw the photos and the videos. California would see its own wildfire crisis. Again, this past August, over 9,000 separate fires burning almost 4.5 million acres. That's more than 4% of the state of California. It's the largest California wildfire season in its modern history. January saw Prince Harry and Meghan Markle step down from their duties as senior royals at Buckingham Palace. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex wanted financial and personal independence. Like, we're done. We want to go break off from the family, do our own thing. And they did. They did a farewell tour. They moved to the States. They lived for several months in the $18 million mansion of actor-director Tyler Perry. The couple signed a deal for about $100 million bucks to be involved with various Netflix series. And they've been blasted because many people felt that the series The Crown on Netflix had capitalized on the scandals of Prince Harry's parents, Prince Charles and Princess Diana. The criticism is this, that Harry and Meghan have gone to work with an organization that has betrayed the royal family. The couple has also been involved with numerous charity efforts, including a new foundation called Archewell, a nonprofit that targets conservation, female empowerment, and gender equality. They say the organization's already running at the time of the prep for this show. Their website is just a landing page, so apparently more to come in 2021. Impeachment. Donald Trump impeached in January for the abuse of power and the obstruction of Congress, the impeachment revolving around the president's call to Ukrainian President Zelensky. Trump asked him for a favor against a political rival, Joe Biden. Trump acquitted by the Senate on both impeachment counts in February. The vote was very much drawn along party lines. January 26th, the tragic accident. We lost Kobe Bryant, also his daughter and seven passengers killed in a helicopter crash in California. Kobe Bryant, a legend of the NBA. His daughter was just 13. They were on the way to a game at Kobe Bryant's Mamba Academy. The weather was bad during the time of the crash. There's no black box that was on board the helicopter. Bryant had had a 20-year career with the LA Lakers, the all-time leading scorer in the history of the franchise. Kobe Bryant was 41. January 31st, the United Kingdom withdraws from the European Union. Or sort of. Brexit, the British exit, gets real. The responses ranging from wild celebration to angry protest. Some people just confused and in disbelief about Brexit. It's almost been a year later, right? And the consensus is still, hey, it's pandemonium, especially as the UK deals with the pandemic. Everything's having to be revamped, from customs procedures to information technology to trade deals to the managing of food and basic necessities to immigration policies. National and global relationships are up in the air. It's just political chaos. It's cultural chaos. From my chair over here in Oklahoma, in the United States, no matter how much I read about Brexit, I can't fully get my head around it. Why do it? How do you do it? How do Britons feel about it? Is anybody else having this problem? Brexit is like a math equation that says 2 + 2 = fish, right? It just isn't working in my brain. Does anybody actually use Apple Maps? Now, Apple Maps launched 8 years ago. It was a total disaster. But the times, they may be a-changing. It was early this year when Apple announced it was rolling out a new map, brand new map, redesigned using hundreds of planes and cars that covered more than 4 million miles of the United States. New features, they're mostly the same as the other features that we've already been using with Google Maps and Waze. But Apple's new maps are not borrowing from anybody else this time. They've got a brand new database, 4 years in the making. It is proprietary to Apple. It's hosted by Apple. So are you using Apple Maps? What do you think? You prefer it over something else? You have trouble with it? Does it ever send you in a wrong direction? Apple Maps? It was this year that Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos saw his company become a $1 trillion organization. I mean, $1 trillion, $1,000 billion. And with all the self-isolation and the quarantining and everything, that's only fueled the Amazon beast. Back in 2015, Amazon surpassed Walmart as the most valuable retailer in the United States. Amazon Prime launched a couple years ago. It has 150 million subscribers enjoying their free 2-day delivery. I'll admit to being one of them. February. What would the Super Bowl be without a little controversy? Well, you know, not for us, but controversy among the Puritans. February 2nd of this year. The Kansas City Chiefs defeat the San Francisco 49ers, but most everybody wasn't talking about the game. They were talking about the halftime show. Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. It was skimpy. It was sexy. And the Federal Communications Commission fielded over 1,300 complaints from parents who were watching with their children. One person said it was a porno show. Other people accused the Super Bowl of promoting sex trafficking. Super Bowl 54, it averaged 102 million viewers. So if you do the math, less than 1/1000th% of viewers were outraged enough to formally complain. I had some people in my own family. They were posting about it on Facebook. You know, the lack of modesty and the rampant carnality in this culture is an affront to God and man. Personally, I don't think the problem's the halftime show. I think the problem is these Puritans. They're sexually repressed people, and they are training sexual repression into their children. And of course, as Pepsi was the halftime sponsor of the show, I doubt they're too upset about all this free publicity. February the 24th. Film producer and sexual predator Harvey Weinstein found guilty of third-degree rape and first-degree criminal sexual acts. Sexual abuse allegations on this guy date back decades, like back to the 1970s. More than 80 women made allegations against Weinstein by 2017. The story hitting the New York Times and the New Yorker, it helped to fuel the Me Too movement. And it prompted a phenomenon known as the Weinstein Effect. Investigations of other powerful men who'd shielded each other, been shielded by money and power and the system. Harvey Weinstein was seen at his trial with a walker. He received no sympathy for his quote-unquote illness or ailment. He's serving a 23-year sentence. He's 68. If he does the full 23 years, he will get out of prison when he is 91. On the same subject, here is a terrifying story out of Britain. 36-year-old Indonesian man, Reinhard Sinaga. He was found guilty of 159 sex offenses against 48 men. He spiked their drinks. He raped them. 36 years old, given a life sentence with parole possible at 30 years. He is described as the most prolific rapist in British legal history. Somebody tell me how this man remains a candidate for parole. How does that happen? In February, we watched again the Oscars, the Academy Awards, Parasite winning Best Picture and Best Director. Best Actor went to Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. That movie also won Best Original Score. Renee Zellweger, she won for Best Actress, the movie Judy. Documentary went to American Factory. Best Animated Film was Toy Story 4. And Best Visual Effects, that went to the Sam Mendes film, 1917. I love that movie. If you haven't seen 1917, find the biggest TV in the house with the best sound in the house and check it out. March of this year, it was the worst stock market crash since 1987. Of course, it was because of the pandemic. March 16th, in the first minute of Wall Street trading, the Dow crashed almost 3,000 points. The S&P 500 plummeted more than 8%. Global markets in free fall. Overall, the most devastating financial crisis since the Wall Street crash of 1929. Now, we've bounced back somewhat. But remember, the stock market is not the economy. And a whole lot of business owners and workers have essentially been wiped out. Oil prices collapsing. The tourism industry just kicked in the teeth. Hotels and local retail. I mean, it's been interesting to watch people and how they have adapted. Working from home, shopping from home. The use of delivery services. We've been door dashing and Grubhubbing quite a bit, right? Creative distancing at these outdoor gatherings. I saw some people back when the temps were warmer. To help scratch the social itch, they took lawn chairs And they put them outside in the driveways and spaced them about 10 feet apart wearing masks. And they were just out there trying to talk to each other in some capacity. Conversations at a distance, no touching, no handshakes, no hugging. Of course, a squillion Zoom calls. By the way, just a quick background on Zoom. I'm fascinated by this company. I hadn't heard of them a couple of years ago. Zoom was founded back in 2011. It was launched as software in 2013, worth about $1 billion as a company 3 years ago. But in 2020, Zoom hit the stratosphere. And it seems like everybody and their dog is on Zoom. By the way, one of my favorite horror movies of this year, it's a film on the network Shudder. It's called Host. It was shot in quarantine, and the film was shot completely on Zoom. I mean, it's really a unique project, and Host is damn scary. And this is coming from somebody who has seen a ton of horror movies and finds most of them quaint and tedious. Host on Shudder. There are privacy concerns about Zoom. Parts of the Zoom workforce located in China, so some people are kind of weird about surveillance and censorship. Zoom has also been taken to task for poor encryption and the kinds of data that it shares. Zoom promised to shore things up and to make things more secure. I go back and forth on this. I mean, isn't that cat already out of the bag? I'm not saying that we should not be vigilant, but you know, don't Facebook and Twitter already know everything about you and me? If Google decided to go rogue and take over the world and hold us all hostage, I would be totally screwed because Google pretty much owns me. I know some people, they refuse to use Zoom because they don't want their face recorded. Those same people have driver's licenses with their photos on them, registered with the government. I don't know. Go figure, right? March of 2020 saw the postponement of the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. The International Olympic Committee has set a new date for the Olympics, July 23rd of next year. It was in March that presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren dropped out of the presidential race. There was much weeping among the Bernie crowd as Bernie Sanders followed suit on April the 8th. By that time, the Democratic pool had narrowed down to just two candidates. There was Sanders and there was Biden. But I found the primaries interesting because they brought us some new interesting names to watch, like Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Andrew Yang, right? And the Yang Gang. And spiritual psychotherapist Marianne Williamson. Oh yeah, she was a hoot at the debates until she finally dropped out. 2020 was the year of QAnon. What is QAnon? Well, if you've been doing hard time or in a deep coma, in our you cannot make this shit up category, QAnon is essentially an umbrella term for various conspiracy theories once relegated to the fringes of the internet. The story goes like this. Our planet is run by a secret organization of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who are operating a global sex trafficking ring. This group of satanic pedophiles includes top Democrats like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, a barrage of Hollywood celebrities including Oprah Winfrey and Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is part of the satanic cabal of pedophiles. Even the Pope and the Dalai Lama. QAnon alleges that many of these people not only abuse children, but also eat them to extract a chemical from their blood, which will make you live longer. QAnon says Donald Trump is the head of the resistance, recruited by top military generals to run for president and break up this satanic criminal conspiracy. Also, QAnon thinks 9/11 was an inside job, that aliens live among us, and I shit you not, John F. Kennedy is still alive and walking among us. Now, if that's not insane enough, there are more than a dozen candidates for the United States House and Senate this year who have promoted QAnon conspiracies. Two of them won their races and will actually be headed to Congress. What? What? These people are going to, quote unquote, lead us? Look, if you would like a baptism in batshittery, check out the Twitter feed of Georgia's new House member, Marjorie Taylor Greene. That woman is drowning in the QAnon Kool-Aid. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter cracking down on QAnon accounts, thousands of accounts deleted for hate speech and misinformation. Which brings us to the popularity of Parler and the mass exodus of these conspiracy nuts and hate speakers and bigots into a platform which has gleefully declared that it's not going to fact check and it's not really responsible for content because, quote unquote, free speech. It's unfettered, unmonitored. We don't give a shit. Post whatever you want. So now we have a culture of people, many of them who have been banned from other social media platforms. They can now spin conspiracy and hate without having to encounter a disagreeing position, without having to be fact-checked by anybody with the actual data. I don't know about you. This seems a little bit problematic. An echo chamber is one thing. An echo chamber for people crying conspiracy and revolution, many of them talking about violent overthrow. Come on, we've already seen Parler users. They're calling for the execution of liberals and the overthrow of all things Democrat. I mean, what happens next? Some people don't think the Parler phenomenon's going to last. Parler has about 10 million users. Contrast that to Facebook. Facebook has 2.3 billion users. That is about a third of the entire planet on Facebook. April 2020, everybody thought Kim Jong-un was dead. The North Korean dictator disappeared in the last half of April, and the media went crazy. Speculation everywhere. Journalists were saying that Kim was allegedly in bad health. He was in grave danger, possibly after a botched surgical procedure. Other people said he was in a coma. He was brain dead, alive only as a figurehead. The whole thing started with a mistranslation from a South Korean news website, which is kind of a tabloid anyway. It's called the Daily NK. And this story went from there and turned into a global game of telephone. The scenario just sounded worse and worse and worse with every telling. CNN produced a story on the 21st of April that really set things on fire. TMZ said Kim was dead. MSNBC host Katie Turr tweeted, brain dead. She had to go back and apologize for that. The Daily Beast was speculating about his sister taking over the country. You get the picture. It was a few days into the month of May, Kim Jong-un finally showed up, alive and well, at a ribbon cutting at a new factory. He looked then and looks today very much alive. April the 18th and 19th saw the Nova Scotia mass shooter, a man in a fake police uniform. He fatally shot 22 people before he was killed by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. This one really hits close to the atheist community. Our own Shannon Q, she was close enough to the violence to hear the gunshots. April was the month of the U.S. oil market crash, a crash so hard that prices for a barrel of oil were below zero, like prices in the negative. Too much supply, not nearly enough demand, a price war happening between Saudi Arabia and Russia. So crude oil had dropped 300%. It was trading at minus $37 a barrel. The industry has rebounded somewhat. Some good news in May in Costa Rica. Costa Rica became the very first Central American nation to legalize same-sex marriage. President Quesada said, quote, "Let empathy and love be the compass that allows us to get ahead and build a country where all people fit." I love the idea. Let's do more of that around the world. Did you know that adultery was a crime in Taiwan? You can get up to a year in prison for sex with somebody who was not your spouse. Taiwan has finally come to its senses in 2020. That law struck down on May the 29th. May 25th in Minneapolis, police officers arrested a 46-year-old black man, George Floyd, over a call made by a convenience store employee who said that Floyd had bought cigarettes with a fake $20 bill. Officer Derek Chauvin and three others at the scene. Chauvin had the handcuffed George Floyd on the ground with a knee to the neck. George Floyd struggled. He said he couldn't breathe. He said he was dying. He called out for his mother. With over 8 minutes under Chauvin's knee, George Floyd suffocated to death. Officer Chauvin had his knee on Floyd's neck several minutes after he'd stopped speaking, 2 minutes after he stopped moving. Bystanders were prevented from intervening. The footage of George Floyd's arrest and murder exploded, and so did huge portions of the country, massive protests, national and global, marches and demonstrations, even rioting and destruction, the crying out again against racism, police brutality, lethal violence by white officers against black Americans, this time over an alleged counterfeit $20 bill. All four officers fired. Derek Chauvin charged with second-degree unintentional murder and second-degree manslaughter. The other officers charged with aiding and abetting a second-degree murder. The trial is scheduled for March the 8th of next year. But again, we are presented with the huge racial unrest here in the United States. Unrest that's often stoked from the highest office by an inciter in chief. Another product of the protest is the polarizing hashtag defund the police. Now, I love the idea behind the hashtag. I still hate the hashtag, right? Because it's crap at communicating the message. You have to stop and say, well, no, really what it means is this. The message is that American culture, which is especially a gun culture, too often militarizes situations where armed officers might not be necessary or appropriate, right? If you militarize every situation, shit's going to go wrong. Perhaps we could take some of those resources, some of the money that fuel the police forces, and direct those into social programs which can address problems without badges and firearms. In essence, this would not be defunding the police. We'd still have a funded police force. But we would have reformed the police. We would hold law enforcement more accountable. I've taken a lot of heat for criticizing that defund the police hashtag. But I said this. I said, imagine if somebody had said defund Planned Parenthood. Like, would you and I hear that and go, oh, well, they just want to reform Planned Parenthood to make it more efficient? Well, of course not. That hashtag played right into the anarchy narrative that was vomited out of the White House, and I think it makes us harder to be understood. But the conversation continues, and the message does remain a necessary one. Black lives, which are so often treated as disposable, genuinely matter. It was in May of this year that we were again reminded that 2020 is out to get us. It was the breaking story of the murder hornets. These Asian giant hornets are so freaking big. I mean, they're huge. The queens can grow up to 2 inches long, and they can fly up to 20 miles an hour. This is a movie, right? This is a movie. The hornets can wipe out a honeybee hive in a few hours. It's just grisly. They decapitate the bees, and they carry the thoraxes of the bees back to feed their young. The stinger of the murder hornet is long enough to puncture a beekeeper's suit. The murder hornet actually kills 50 people every year in Japan, and now they have been seen in the United States and in Canada. The intervention has mobilized tracking and eradication is the mission. But until they are gone, my friends, beware out there. Beware the murder hornets. You should do a Google image search. Just log on and type it in, murder hornet, and look at the pictures. It is a damn monster movie, I'm telling you. Across the American South, Confederate monuments, Confederate symbols are finally coming down. And many in the South, many of the indignant, are rising up to protest. We'll start the next segment with that story. So much more to talk about. The interesting, the scientific, the political, the wild, the wonderful, the weird, it's all still to come next. I'm so thankful for my patrons. If you are not a patron at patreon.com/SethAndrews, I encourage you to become one. You get the show 2 days early and you get it totally commercial free. And my patrons are a huge part of this broadcast. patreon.com/SethAndrews. We continue our look at 2020 in review. It was in June of this year, Mississippi became the last state to remove the Confederate battle emblem from its state flag. Public opinion was pro-Confederate flag just a month beforehand, but after influencers and businesses and even the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA, condemned it publicly, Mississippians shifted in opinion just a little bit. 55% of the state residents said finally they wanted a change. Now, that means that 1.3 million people wanted to keep a slave flag on the state flag. But, you know, it's something. It's a step in the right direction. On the flag itself, in place of the Confederate symbol, Mississippi has decided to add the words, "In God We Trust." The American South definitely needs an education in the Constitution. Anyway, these discussions about the Confederate flag, etc., they do relate directly to the protests for George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, so many other victims of white-on-black police violence and outright racism in this country. But we are seeing more attention paid to the symbols of our culture. The Cleveland Indians just announced that they're going to change the team name, no longer called the Indians. This summer, the Washington Redskins football team announced it would no longer call itself Redskins. Now remember, Redskin began as a slang word for American and Canadian Native Americans. Right now, they're just calling it the Washington football team. Oh, that's clever. But, you know, critics are freaking out. Political correctness is going to be the ruin of us. I find this tragic. Right? It's never too late to do the right thing, or almost never. And it's just so sad to see people losing their mind about being kinder to marginalized people, right? The statues to racist figures coming down, Jefferson Davis removed from the Kentucky Capitol, Columbus came down in Richmond, and then a similar Columbus statue in St. Paul, Minneapolis. Now, we talked about this on our Thanksgiving broadcast. We used to deify Christopher Columbus when, in truth, the guy was just a freaking monster. Some of those statues removed officially, some were just torn down arbitrarily by protesters. My favorite argument for keeping the statues and the Confederate flags, we have to remember our history, right? If we take this stuff down, we're going to forget our heritage. And somebody pointed out, I don't see any Nazi statues, which is why nobody can remember who Hitler was. I mean, come on. Do we really want monuments for racists displayed like this? Put them in a museum. Wrap the story around that display. Make it about education, not adulation. June of 2020 saw the Sahara dust storm dropping dust on us here in the United States. I didn't even know that was possible. You could see the dust from space traveling in the atmosphere, reaching the U.S. mainland. The dust bloom in the atmosphere was 2 miles thick. It traveled from the Sahara across the North Atlantic to give you and me some dusty air, but also some gorgeous sunsets. It was in June that American intelligence concluded that the Russian military had been putting bounties on coalition forces in Afghanistan. Many of those people were Americans. Some of the bounties offered to Islamic terrorists linked to the Taliban. The White House took that information and essentially did fuck all about it. June the 8th, former NASA astronaut Catherine Sullivan, she was the first woman to complete a spacewalk 3 decades ago. She became the first woman to reach the deepest point of the ocean. Catherine Sullivan took a reinforced submarine down the Challenger Deep, 35,853 feet down. That's almost 7 miles down. The water pressure at that point is 15,750 pounds per square inch. That's more than 1,000 times the pressure at sea level. It was in July they finally arrested her. Ghislaine Maxwell, accomplice to rapist Jeffrey Epstein, wanted on charges of procuring and sexually trafficking young girls. Now, this woman had been in hiding, communicating from secret locations only through her lawyers, who would not reveal where she was or said they simply did not know. And so she moved around in secret, but ultimately she was found on her own property in Bradford, New Hampshire. She'd bought this million-dollar home, 156 acres. She bought it last December. She was using former British military personnel as security. Ghislaine Maxwell was arrested by the FBI on the 2nd of July. They charged her with the enticement of minors, sex trafficking of children, and perjury. She has pled not guilty. The $5 million bond denied by the judge because she was a flight risk. Her trial is scheduled for July of 2021. And of course, after the suicide of her partner in crime, Jeffrey Epstein, she remains heavily and constantly under guard. Congressman and game-changing human rights activist John Lewis lost his battle with stage 4 pancreatic cancer in July. He had helped to organize the March on Washington in 1963. He led the marches in Selma, standing up against state troopers in the fight for racial equality. He was first elected to Congress in 1986. He served 17 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives. He was a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom given by President Barack Obama, who gave John Lewis credit for paving the way for the first black president in the history of this country. At Obama's inauguration, he signed a commemorative photograph for John Lewis with the words, "Because of you, John." John Lewis left us this year at the age of 80. August the 4th, the explosion was huge. It shook the city of Beirut. The story reached around the world. And the kicker is, everybody should have seen this coming. The short version of the story is this. Almost 3,000 tons of ammonium nitrate was being stored in this warehouse in the capital of Lebanon, without proper safety measures. Okay, well, let's just put some explosives in here, thousands of pounds, and let's just freaking leave it. That's pretty much what happened. The ammonium nitrate had been confiscated by Lebanese authorities from this abandoned ship. The ship had been caught in bureaucratic red tape, had been drifting from port to port, and no one knew what to do with it. And so back in 2014, a judge ordered that they store the ammonium nitrate at a warehouse. They put it in warehouse number 12, and it just sat there for 6 years, and people kept saying, "Hey, this shit is highly explosive. This is a problem. Like, we should probably do something with this. We need to get it out of here. Let's export it. Let's give it to the military. Let's sell it to private explosive companies, you know, demolition companies. Let's do something with it." This had been going on for years. And then on the 4th of August at 5:55 p.m., there was a warehouse fire. Oh, by the way, in the same location, and I'm not making this up, they were storing fireworks. The first explosion happened 12 minutes later with the fireworks, about the equivalent of 2 tons of TNT. But that wasn't the big one. The big one came 30 seconds later, the explosion, huge. massive, so big that from Lebanon's ground zero point, the effects were felt as far away as Northern Ireland and beyond, up to 160 miles away. 204 people killed, 6,500 people injured. The explosion left a 400-foot crater. 300,000 people left homeless. 3 hospitals destroyed. 90% of the city's hotels were damaged. Landmarks wiped out. There was a nearby cruise ship that actually capsized because of this thing. Food silos destroyed. That resulted in a massive food shortage. Just chaos. By the way, if you're wondering what ammonium nitrate is, it comes in a pellet form. It's one of the world's most widely used fertilizers. But if you take that fertilizer and you mix it with fuel oil and a special charge, it becomes the oxygen source for an explosive. By the way, the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing with the Murrah Federal Building, that involved 2 tons of ammonium nitrate in a rental truck. August saw the first ever Black and Asian American woman on the presidential ticket in the United States. History was made. Former California Attorney General, before becoming a senator, Kamala Harris. You know, it's so telling that it's taken us 250 years to have the first female of color nominated in the role of vice president. 250 years for this to happen just one time. So love Kamala Harris or don't, this remains a historic moment in this country. There is no doubt she is inspiring so many who will be empowered and motivated by her great achievement. August 28th, we were all shocked at this announcement. Black Panther actor Chadwick Boseman was dead. We didn't even know he was sick. He had kept his battle with colon cancer such a secret, most of us had no idea he even had cancer. Until he was already gone, a tragic loss. Chadwick Boseman was only 43 years old. September the 18th, she was 87 when she died. And she died a legend, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was the second ever woman appointed to our highest court. She had been the first female member of the prestigious Harvard Law Review. She'd graduated first in her class at Columbia Law School. She was Columbia's first female tenured professor. She argued landmark cases for the ACLU on gender equality. When she was appointed to the Supreme Court in 1993, the Senate vote in her favor was overwhelming, 96-3. She died September 18th at her home in Washington, D.C., complications from metastatic pancreatic cancer. Ruth Bader Ginsburg became the first woman and the second Supreme Court justice to ever be laid in state at the Capitol. If you'd like a larger profile of her amazing life, there's a wonderful 2018 documentary. It's titled simply RBG. October of 2020. I heard a friend speaking about a conversation that she had had with her teenage daughter. And they were talking about our music, the parents' music. And the teenager said to her mom, she said, you know, the problem with today's music is we don't have any rock gods. Man, that's profound, isn't it? Like, where are all the rock and roll gods? October 6th of this year, we lost one of the biggest rock gods in history. The legendary Eddie Van Halen. He co-founded Van Halen with his brother back in 1972. And if you want to see the master at work, the legendary guitarist at work, just go on YouTube and search Eruption. It's one of the greatest rock guitar solos ever. Eddie Van Halen had had a rocky life. He'd struggled with alcohol and drugs. He went into rehab 13 years ago and had been sober since 2008. He started getting treatment for tongue cancer in 2000. He actually had had part of his tongue surgically cut out. He was diagnosed with throat cancer in 2014, then lung cancer. He died in Santa Monica, California. He was 65. On the 16th of November, Eddie Van Halen's son Wolfgang announced publicly that Van Halen had disbanded, saying, quote, "You can't have Van Halen without Eddie Van Halen." Holy shit, they were going to kidnap the governor of Michigan. On the 8th of October, the FBI announced they had arrested 13 guys, 13 suspects who had been plotting to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and then overthrow Michigan, like the whole state government. They arrested a 14th guy later, part of a militia group called the Wolverine Watchmen. And yes, that's what they call themselves, the Wolverine Watchmen. They'd been planning this kidnapping for months. They actually had mock kidnappings. They did this tactical training and all this situational stuff. Fortunately, they'd been on the FBI's radar for like 7 months. One of the extremists actually flipped and turned informant. The FBI found a list by one of the men, a hit list of people that he wanted to hang. Those names included President Trump, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, liberals, Muslims, and, quote, anti-Americans. By the way, these guys were associating themselves with a group called the Boogaloo Boys. The Boogaloo movement is this far-right anti-government extremist movement that's expecting, planning for, and even in some cases inciting a second civil war. November of this year, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win the U.S. presidential election. And you know the rest. Well, let me sum it up in a couple sentences. Biden easily wins the Electoral College. Biden runs away with the popular vote. Over 7 million more votes than Donald Trump nationwide. Crybaby Von Clownstick files a bunch of bullshit lawsuits that even the Supreme Court thinks are a waste of time and money. And Biden is still going to be inaugurated in January. Will that suffice for you? You know, can we just talk about something else for the rest of the broadcast? Let's do that. Astronauts. Yeah, let's talk about science for a second. NASA certified SpaceX for human spaceflight. They've been experimenting with rockets for years and years. Well, now it's time for humans in the spotlight. November saw the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft launch out of Kennedy Space Center with four astronauts on board. They docked safely at the ISS, the International Space Station. They're going to live up there for 6 months. 6 months in zero gravity. They will return home in May of 2021. A suicide bombing on Christmas morning in Nashville, Tennessee, near downtown. 6:30 in the morning, an RV broadcast its own warning for people to evacuate. It also played a song. It played the 1964 song called Downtown. The explosion damaged 40 buildings, including the AT&T Transmission Center, where it was parked. 8 people hospitalized. The remains of the bomber found, Anthony Warner, described by his neighbors and associates as a hermit and a loner. The FBI continues its investigation. At the time of this broadcast, no motive has been determined. The United States government got hacked in December. This has been interesting to watch. A big portion of the country is hugely concerned. Wait a minute, we've been hacked? And the other half of the country is going, eh, whatever, you know. A months-long cyber espionage campaign compromised servers at the Treasury and the Commerce Departments. A security firm found the breach. Many people believe the culprit is Russia. Russia has said those accusations are unfounded. The U.S. Space Force, which sounds like a 60s TV show, officially gave its members a name. Vice President Mike Pence announced this month the men and women of the U.S. Space Force will be known as the Guardians. So they will be in space guarding us from... guarding us from what? Like aliens? Harmful UV radiation, space junk flying around, the criminals of Krypton who are locked in the Phantom Zone. What exactly are we being guarded from? December the 18th, lawmakers in Switzerland passed two historic bills. The first established marriage equality, and the second one made it easier for transgender residents to change their name and gender on official documents. That vote passed 136 to 48. The issue itself has been under debate for years, like 7 years. Switzerland has been one of the few European nations that did not have marriage equality, and that changed this month. Also, kind of a cool milestone in December, the U.S. Air Force graduated its largest class of female test pilots and engineers in history. A small but elite group, the five female graduates known by their call signs: Tumble, Hulk, Booster, Sci-Fi, and Shade. It's a field still predominantly male. The ratio is 5-1, but these women are paving the way and the skies for aviators to come. And this bizarro year entered its final month with the mystery of the monolith. This shiny obelisk, it's appearing and disappearing at random places all around the world. And the rest of us are scratching our heads. What is this thing? Of course, maybe we need the guardians. It's aliens. We need to be guarded. The first sighting happened in a remote part of Utah, November 18th. Almost immediately, there was an Instagram account. It's called Utah Monolith. Has photographs. November 27th, the day it disappeared in Utah, a similar metallic monolith appeared on a hilltop in Romania. A few days later, it disappeared with a new one in California the day after, and it continues to pop up. Of course, clever internet memers are on the case. They've already turned the monolith photograph into other things, like big Amazon boxes. Somebody turned it into an ATM machine, even a McDonald's drive-through terminal. Look for it out there, my friends. You never know where it might appear or disappear. It is the mysterious monolith. When we come back, we'll look at some more of the famous names we lost in 2020, and we will cap the show with some of the weirdest stories of 2020. Some much needed levity to end the show. We'll do it next. Right now, it's the final segment of our year in review. Before we get into the stories of the strange, the news of the weird, kind of the wild, wacky, and entertaining stuff of 2020, we've already mentioned some of the people we've lost this year, but just a few more of some of the big names that left us in 2020. Alex Trebek, the game show host, he passed away in December. The celebrated host of Jeopardy had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He often spoke very bravely on his television show about his situation. He passed away at 80. Legendary musician behind songs like Tutti Frutti, Little Richard. He died May the 9th. He was 87, bone cancer. Regis Philbin, the famed television host. He died June 24th at 88. Diana Rigg. She was the legendary Emma Peel of the 1960s television series The Avengers. And of course, Olenna Tyrell from Game of Thrones. She was the one who poisoned the king. She died September the 10th at 82. The last surviving star from the classic film Gone with the Wind, Olivia de Havilland. She died peacefully in her sleep. She was 103 years old. She died in July. We lost Grant Imahara, beloved co-star of Mythbusters, brain aneurysm, a total surprise. He died July 13th. The Quaker Oats guy, the diabetes guy, Wilford Brimley, longtime actor in films like Cocoon and The Thing. He died August the 1st. He was 85. Peter Green, founder and guitarist of Fleetwood Mac. He died in July, 73 years old. Veteran actor John Saxon. I most remember John Saxon as Nancy's dad in Nightmare on Elm Street, but he'd been around forever. A known character actor. He died July 25th at 83. Kelly Preston, actor and wife of John Travolta. She'd had breast cancer, been battling it for a while. She was 57. She died July the 12th. Jerry Stiller, From Seinfeld, King of Queens, and so many others, the father of Ben Stiller. He passed away in May at 92. Ian Holm, the legendary actor, he died from complications of Parkinson's in June at 88. He's been in so many films, I remember him probably most as Ash, the android in Ridley Scott's Alien. And for many of us, he will always be Bilbo Baggins. Ming the Merciless, the actor Max von Sydow, he died. Too many credits to mention here. I mean, everything from The Exorcist to Minority Report to Flash Gordon to Star Wars. A 70-year career, more than 150 films. He was 90 years old. Often called the greatest drummer in the world. Neil Peart of Rush, he died in January, brain cancer. He was 67. We lost Spartacus this year. Kirk Douglas died February 5th at 103. Country music legend Kenny Rogers, you know, the man behind The Gambler and so many other classics, he died March 20th at 81. Also another country legend, Charlie Daniels, the guy behind The Devil Went Down to Georgia, passed away July 6th at 83. Roy Horn, half of Siegfried and Roy, the legendary illusionists. Roy died of complications from COVID. He was 75. Ennio Morricone, the legendary film composer, passed away July 6th at 91. Of course, when we think about Morricone, we always think about the iconic soundtrack from The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We lost David Prowse this year. Darth Vader in the original Star Wars trilogy, 85 years old. You know, I always felt sad for David Prowse. There's actually a documentary about his story, right? Bodybuilder, he's cast to be inside the Darth Vader suit. And then all of a sudden, Return of the Jedi is filmed. And they secretly leave him out of the big reveal. They hire another actor to play Anakin Skywalker when they take Darth Vader's mask off. And of course, the actor that they chose made Anakin look like a big blue baked potato. It was like one of the biggest disappointments in film history. And I always felt bad for David Prowse, 85 years old. Also another Star Wars icon, Jeremy Bullock, 75 years old. You may not know his face, but you know his character. He was the man under the helmet as the original Boba Fett. Comedy legend Carl Reiner. He passed away June 29th at 98. Director Joel Schumacher. He had directed St. Elmo's Fire back in the 80s. He did the Phantom of the Opera movie, Flatliners, and two truly hideous Batman films. But he also directed The Lost Boys in 1987, so he is forgiven. Joel Schumacher died at 80 years old. We lost Terry Jones of Monty Python in January. He was 77. Sean Connery, the first James Bond back in 1962 with Dr. No. He starred in seven James Bond movies. And he had iconic roles in everything from Time Bandits to The Untouchables to Indiana Jones 3 to Highlander to The Hunt for Red October. For some of us, Sean Connery will always be Zed from the 1974 Z movie classic Zardoz. Just go and Google image search Sean Connery Zardoz, Z-A-R-D-O-Z. Like, pause the show and go search Zardoz with Connery's name. He died October 31st. He was 90 years old. It's interesting, we lost another James Bond icon that very month. Margaret Nolan died at 76. You may not know her name, but you do know that she was the woman famously covered in gold paint in the movie Goldfinger. It was 1947 when he became the first man to break the sound barrier. A feat that many thought was impossible until he did it. He helped to launch humanity into the jet and space age. He was a World War fighter ace, a test pilot, and ultimately an Air Force Brigadier General with the right stuff. He was Chuck Yeager. Passed away December 7th at 97 years old. Thank you. And let's finish with some wild, wacky, and weird news from 2020 from all around the world. We start in Naples, Italy, earlier this month. It was the ceremony of the blood of San Gennaro, the patron of Naples. Now, three times a year, the church brings out a vial, and the vial contains the dried blood of San Gennaro, this 4th century martyr. And they put the vial on public display in the city's cathedral. And priests and congregants pray that the dried blood will miraculously liquefy. This phenomenon has a name. It's called the miracle of San Gennaro. Wednesday, December 16th, saw hours and hours of praying and claiming and pleading and believing. But alas, the clotted blob remained a clotted blob. This is considered a bad omen. When the blood failed to liquefy back in September of 1980, 2 months later, there was a massive earthquake that struck southern Italy. It killed 3,000 people. This ceremony of the decoagulation of martyr blood provides yet another shining example of how religion turns people into idiots. Beyond that, while believers claim that the vial is full of San Gennaro's blood, the contents really haven't been confirmed by anybody. We don't even know what's in the vial. For all we know, it might be strawberry jello. And even in that case, if you can make strawberry jello turn back into a liquid, that would be a miracle indeed. July of this year, Addison, Vermont. Chris Macris went up for a tandem skydive at Vermont Skydiving Adventures. It was an exhilarating skydive, apparently so exhilarating that Chris did not realize his prosthetic leg had blown off in the middle of the dive. So when he jumped, the prosthetic was there. When he landed without a leg. This means his leg had landed somewhere in West Addison. So Chris had to go put out a call for help. Hey, if anybody, you know, comes across a leg, call me. And it happened. A nearby farmer found the leg laying in a field. Fortunately, it wasn't ground up by a combine, you know. Chris and his limb have been reunited. Hasnon, France. It's a ritual steeped in pagan mystery, and it's gotten a facelift for 2020. The ritual goes like this. If you are sick, you place an offering at the place of the healing tree. And the offerings were articles of clothing. In the past, you just go and hang a shirt or skirt or some article of clothing. You hang it from the branches, and then it's like, please heal me, O tree, or whatever. You know, here's some clean underwear. And yes, people hang underwear off of the healing tree. Socks and underwear, that kind of thing. And this year, people have decided to update the offerings. They've been fitting the tree with COVID masks. Now, I get the desire for hope and healing. Like, I totally understand that. But somebody please tell these people, trees do not have ears to hear you. They have no powers to heal you. And at the very least, trees do not require masks because they do not breathe. Just weird we have to actually say stuff like this. Some movie memorabilia went on sale late this year in Beverly Hills, California. Reuters News Service reported that the original Walther PP handgun that was used by James Bond and Dr. No, it sold for a whopping $256,000. $250,000 for a handgun. Also, Maverick's helmet from Top Gun, it sold for over $100,000. And remember Pulp Fiction? That scene where Bruce Willis grabbed the sword and he used it on the rapists, right, at that S&M shop or whatever? That was sold for $35,200. There's a whole niche market for this stuff. Back in August, the original Nostromo model from Alien, it went on the block. Starting bid was $300,000. The staff of Raw Headpiece from Raiders of the Lost Ark, that started at $100,000. I'm trying to think of what TV or movie memorabilia I'd be willing to drop some coin on. Maybe a Star Trek tricorder from the original series. I'd pay something for that. Ash's chainsaw from Evil Dead. Like, I'd drop down a few hundred bucks for that. And that little boomerang knife caber thingy, the weapon from Beastmaster, you know, that'd come in real handy when the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking. You know, it'd be nice to have that. Hey, I am all about being resourceful with our foods, but pardon me if I am hesitant about the food experiment that's happening at Ghent University in Belgium. Scientists have been working to replace butter with larva fat. Grease made from insects. More sustainable than dairy, it's easier. They say that food tasters really aren't able to tell a difference when 25% of the butter is replaced with larva fat in things like waffles and cakes and cookies. But when the scientists bump that ratio up to half and half, right? You got half butter and half insect larva. The tasters started to cringe, and they reported a, quote, unusual taste. But they say that insect food is actually good for us. There's high levels of protein and vitamins and fiber and minerals. Maybe that future is coming, you know? Honey, would you like some larva fat on your wheat toast? You know, hey, it might happen. Who knows? This story sounds crazy, but it actually happened, and there's video. It was a kite festival in August in Taiwan. Spectators were horrified when the tail of a giant kite tangled around the neck of a three-year-old girl in high winds. This huge kite lifted the girl more than 100 feet off the ground into the air as spectators freaked out. She was whipped around for about half a minute before being pulled back to the ground. Believe it or not, the girl suffered only a few minor cuts and a few bruises. And again, there's video and it's on YouTube. It looks totally fake, but it absolutely happened. This month, a personal trainer set the Guinness World Record for the number of burpees in an hour. Now, if you don't know what a burpee is, you have lived a privileged life. The burpee is just evil. It's a squat thrust. You stand up between reps. So you stand up, then you drop to the ground with your legs tucked. You thrust out your legs to full extension. Then you tuck back in and you jump up to a standing position. It's evil. Burpees are evil. So imagine being 38-year-old Allison Brown of Ontario. In 1 hour, she did the burpee 730 times. My body aches just thinking about it. Did you know, my friends, that in Austria, there's actually a village named Fucking? No, I'm serious. The village is part of the municipality of Tarsdorf. It's north of Salzburg. It's near the German border. Its name is Fucking. Fucking Austria, okay? Of course, there have been endless snickers and jokes and one-liners, and people keep stealing signs from the town. It's just been a pain in the ass for the people who live there. 2 years ago, Pornhub even announced it would offer free premium access to all the people who live in Fucking. And so the jabs got so irritating to the townsfolk, they recently voted to change the name of the town. Like, we're sick of this. So as of January the 1st of 2021, you will be able to visit the town of Fugging, F-U-G-G-I-N-G, which honestly really isn't any better. Tokyo, Japan. Business was not great at the sushi restaurant owned by Masanori Segura. The restaurant was named Imazushi. He needed some kind of hook, you know, something that would bring customers back. And so he started a new service. He called it Delivery Macho. And for every order of at least 7,000 yen, that's over $60 American, your sushi order will be delivered by a shirtless male bodybuilder. And business is way up. With more people locked into their houses and private spaces this year, certain businesses are actually thriving, like the sex toy company industry. There was an article about the ones based in Colombia, right? They had a hardline 5-week lockdown in April. And by day 4 of the lockdown, online sales for sex toys in Colombia began to swell, if you'll pardon the expression. Sales of sex toys in Denmark have more than doubled. The British lingerie chain Ann Summers said their sales were up 27%. This is more proof you don't have to leave home to go on an adventure. How's this for being unlucky and then really lucky? November of this year, Joshua Hatagalung from Sumatra, Indonesia. He's working outside his house when, no kidding, a meteorite falls out of the sky and crashes through the roof of his house. In fact, the force was so great, it went into his house and then busted out a wall and ended up back outdoors. 4.5 pounds of carbonaceous crondite. This is apparently a very rare variety of meteorite, like this rock about the size of a bowling ball. It was something special. Well, Josh started looking around. He found an interested buyer. And for this rock, this meteorite that dropped into his life at random, Joshua Hatagalung was paid over $1 million. So he went from like rags to millionaire because a meteorite fell on him. In August of this year, the residents of the Swiss town Olten got a surprise. They looked outdoors and found it was raining chocolate, or snowing chocolate, really. There was this sort of snow-like cocoa powder. It was falling from the sky. It was landing and covering the ground. Well, it turns out the Lindt and Springley Candy Company, they had this malfunction in their ventilation system. They're producing cocoa products, and they were actually accidentally venting chocolate powder up into the sky. So it blows out this big billow, this cloud of chocolate, which then fell all over the town. How many of us would have seen this and rushed outside with our faces and our open mouths to the sky? Wait a minute, though. Was it just raw cocoa powder? Because that would not be good. Like, if it's sweetened cocoa, then I'm totally in. And let's finish with this story from June. Kenya has had real trouble when it comes to clean hands in the year of COVID. Sanitation, it's a problem. And hand washing is so often done incorrectly. You know, people don't wash their hands enough, long enough, or they touch other surfaces. It's just not working out. Stephen Wamakota decided that he was going to do something about this. He invented a device that operates with a foot pedal. It's totally manual. It causes soap and water to dispense, which means people don't have to touch any part of the apparatus that might be contaminated. Cost only $30 to construct one of these things. The invention was so impressive that Stephen was selected to receive Kenya's Presidential Order of Service, an award from the president of the country. By the way, the inventor, the person keeping his friends and neighbors safe with this new device, Stephen Wamakota. Stephen is just 9 years old. Congratulations to Stephen, and well done. Let's call it a year. Happy New Year, my friends. I'll see you as we turn the page. I'll see you in the next chapter as we kick off 2021. And thanks so much for listening.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter for a complete archive of podcasts and videos, products like mugs and t-shirts featuring The Thinking Atheist logo, links to atheist pages and resources, and details on upcoming free thought events and conventions. Log on to our website, thethinkingatheist.com.